Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
Thanks, Pat. New York Times best-selling author James Arthur Ray joined us recently, and he shared his tips on how to stay productive as an entrepreneur.
Tip number one, you have to have a ritual. Kobe Bryant, for instance, he had a ritual. He got up every single morning at 4 a.m. From 4:30 until 6, he ran wind sprints. 6 till 7, he lifted weights. 7 till 11, he shot 800 jump shots. And then at 11 o'clock, his team arrived, and it was time for practice. Things that are ritualistic in your life become habituated. You don't have to think about them. You just act upon them. Tip number two. Your ritual must have a time. You see, your unconscious mind operates on repetition. Research of individuals who have a net worth of $3.2 million or more proves that almost 50% of those people get up at least 3 hours before they have to start work. Third thing about a ritual is it has to have a space. When you're in a space and you have that time, then you start to condition your conscious as well as your unconscious mind that this is time for productivity. Next tip is that you have to have an intention, a very clear outcome, and that becomes your point of focus. You have to have openness, what they call in the East, the beginner's mind. The next tip is a warrior spirit. It's a will. Your willpower is the ability to give yourself a command and then follow it. That brings us to the next one, which is flow. It's a state, again, of openness where greater powers are coming through you versus coming from you.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. The question is, how can you be more productive? Joining me to help answer that question is David Zinn, the CEO of Frugees. It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
So, real quick, what is Frugees?
Frugees is an organic fruit snack made out of fruit and vegetable juices with no added sugar. That's organic, vegan, and non-GMO. And it has an awesome consistency like a Jell-O or pudding.
And I just tried some and it's off the hook. It's so good. I'm going to go crush another one right after this. So how can you be more productive? The tips, the tricks, the gadgets, I don't care what it is. We've got it and we're going to talk about it now. So you get us rolling. I'll interject some of the things I do to be more productive. But what's some of the tips you got or gadgets or apps?
And I think in terms of being productive, the best thing that I find is to be organized. You know, I know as an entrepreneur, it's really easy to get carried away and you get so excited and there's so many different things you want to do and accomplish every single day. And the best is really, you know, I find a task list is key. You know, it's really important to be organized and to know exactly what you need to do. And you also want to make sure you focus on getting those jobs done right. And the best way to really do that is to, you know, you're not going to be, Rome wasn't built in a day. You're not going to be able to accomplish everything in one day. So you really have to have realistic expectations and set realistic goals as to what you can do and do right and do well.
I love that. And I live by a saying when it comes to being productive. And a saying is, do less, better to completion.
Yes.
Do less, better to completion. Nowadays, everyone's trying to juggle all these things and they have a misconception or a delusion about what they think productivity means. A lot of people I see think that productivity means that how many hours you worked in a day, when in reality, it's how much work can you get done in an hour, not how many hours did you work in a day. And a lot of people make that mistake. They see the Gary Vaynerchuks out there that are like, you know, repping the hustle and the hard work, and you got to put 18 hours a day in. And he's talking about hustling and grinding, but it also, if you're going to work hard and hustle, it's to be productive towards this goal or this achievement that you have. And so talking about how to be more productive, I don't think it has to do with working more hours in the day. I think it has to do with doing less, better to completion, and focusing only on the highest income and impact activities. What's going to yield the largest return on your time, energy, and maybe even money? So for me, I start my day out by cliche, but plan your work and work your plan. So what I do every single morning, if I haven't done it the night before, is I map out two things that are critical, then two things that are urgent, and then five things that are important. Now, from the top, two things that are critical, I spend the first 2 to 3 to 4 hours of my day working on those. Why? Because those are the highest income and impact activities. So those are going to yield the largest return on my time. If I can just get those things done, I can usually tap out for the day. So from, 8 a.m. to 9, maybe 9:30, I'm doing my proactive morning ritual. Then I dive straight into my critical activities. And a lot of the times by noon or 1 or 2, I'm done if I want. But a lot of the times, right, because I want to work hard and get to my goals faster, I'll move down into the next category of two things that are urgent. Those are usually also high impact things. Those are things that need to get done soon, but they weren't the critical things. I get those done first. And then, of course, after, if I have time, if I have the energy, I'll move into the things that are important. Those are usually, but not the lowest, trivial income and impact activities, but they're just not critical and urgent. And so for me, that's kind of like my simple boilerplate version. I have a productivity journal, which is one of those things you can buy on Amazon. It has like your whole week mapped out for you already, and you just fill it in. But yeah, I want to hear more from you. What else do you have? That's got kind of my little simple thing to plan my day. What do you have?
Yeah, I mean, for us, Google Docs is huge. It's fantastic, especially, you know, we've got some members of our team that are based in Manhattan. And, you know, so typically sometimes we'll get on the phone early with them. You know, we wake up every day pretty early, like 6 or 7 a.m., you know, get the day started. But Google Docs is just fantastic because
everyone can see it.
Anyone can see it. Anyone can access it anywhere. And it also, you can see, you know, who was last to edit it too, and to make
edits,
changes.
It's edits from your team or yourself in real time.
Exactly.
And it automatically saves.
Yeah.
So I love that. David Zinn is my guest. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Again, David Zinn is my guest. He's the CEO of Frugees. Straight up, the best little squeeze packs out there in the marketplace with a crazy unique consistency. And I'm preaching from somebody who just tried it a little bit ago and somebody who's going to try it the second we're done filming. So I love what you guys are about to get.
Thank
you. Frugees. Do you want to add anything on that?
You know, check
Where
us
people
out.
Get it. That's probably the most important thing.
You can, we're on Amazon. You know, check us out. We're in Whole Foods on the East Coast. We're in Sprouts out here, Gelson's, Bristol Farms, Air One. But yeah, everyone can get us on Amazon, Thrive Market as well. So it's pretty cool. We're nationwide. Cool. We're in 1,500 stores.
You got to check it out. You got to try it. It's a combination of fruit and vegetable blend, no added sugar. It's organic. I love it. I'm going to be a big advocate now. You already got me hooked on that orange one. So we're talking about how to be more productive. We were talking about some of the different things that we have, you know, cliche, but again, right? Plan your work, work your plan. I shared some of the things I do. You know, productivity doesn't mean how many hours in a day you work. A lot of people think it does. Oh, I was productive today. I worked 14 hours.
Right.
No, I probably could have done all that same work in 4 hours. If we really calculated the effort and the results that were produced from those 14 hours, a lot of the times you could have done it in 4 because they're doing their work, but they're multitasking. They're checking their phone, they're text messaging, they're doing emails, they're checking social media, they're checking email, they're responding. And I'm not perfect. I fall victim to that all of the time as well. But the point of this is for us to practice what we're preaching and to give some tactical, strategic things that you can do to take action on every day to be more productive so that you don't have to work 14, 16, 18 hour days, because it's not how long you work. It's how much work you put in the time that you do. And so for me, again, right, 2 to 4 hours, I get the highest income and impact activities done. And then if I haven't already delegated and outsourced all the low income, low, you know, impact activities to the other people on my team, now that's not always the case. Sometimes there's high income and high impact activities, but maybe they're not my strong suit. And that's where I outsource and delegate to people that are better at those things than me. And I stay in my lane and vertical of what I'm the best at. Gadgets or tools or resources, what do you use? I use, and it's stupid because it comes in your phone, but the Notes app and the Calendar app. And I don't mean it's stupid, but you know, it's just in your phone and everyone has access to it, but they're not using it. I use it all the time. I've already taken notes here and put stuff in my calendar. What are some things that you use?
Yeah, we use that all the time too. It's really amazing. The calendar is huge. You need that. Keeps you, you know, on time. We've got so many things going on each day.
If it doesn't send me push notifications, I'm gonna miss it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, we live by our calendars. Same thing, the Notes app is really great. There's another awesome plugin actually called Streak. That's really great.
What is it?
So with Streak is really great. If you have Outlook, you don't need it. But for us, you know, we use Google for our, or Gmail for our email accounts. And what Streak allows you to actually do is, you can send emails at later times. So let's say I'm in Europe, but you know that people are going to be viewing their emails most frequently between the hours of 9 and 11. Mm. So if I'm traveling overseas for work.
So I say, send my email at 10 o'clock or
exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Send my email at 10 o'clock. Right now it's 7. Send it for me in 3 hours and it just sets it. Forget it and it'll send it.
Exactly. It's okay. Fantastic.
Dude, what about Evernote? Do you ever use that one? That's a good app that you can download on your
phone.
No,
I've never used Evernote.
Okay. You should check it out. Evernote is a really creative application. I won't dive too much into it. Again, it's one of those free apps. I would say, you know, there's some apps out there where you can import business cards. You couldn't use that on Evernote and different things like that. Just a really a great organization tool. And again, right, If you're more organized, you can be more productive and
Absolutely.
Efficient. What do you do when you plan your day to be productive? I shared something that I do, which is critical, urgent, and important activities. What do you do? Do you map out the night before? Do you map out in the morning?
So I was going to say, yeah, I map out the night before. I think that's absolutely key, at least for me, because then, you know, when I wake up, I get started, I know exactly what I'm going to be doing the next day, and I know exactly what I'm going to be focusing on. And, you know, and life is chaotic, especially being an entrepreneur, so you have stuff that'll come in all the time.
David Zinn is my guest, CEO of Frugees.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure, brother. I'm going to go crush some of your little squeeze packs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free. No credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
President Trump's new tax law cut your taxes by $5 trillion. Now you can reduce your taxes to zero. The best-selling guide, The Trump Tax Cut by Eva Rosenberg, shows you how, with tax deductions, loopholes, and money-saving secrets. One loophole gives a 20% cut in your tax rate. Newsmax says get The Trump Tax Cut in bookstores or see the free offer and save almost $25. Go online now to TrumpTaxCut.com. That's TrumpTaxCut.com or call 800-NEWSMAX.
You shouldn't have to choose a...
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is an awesome friend of mine, Sean Shuchuk. He's the founder of Results Press. Pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
Thank you so much.
So Results Press, you're doing a lot of cool things, but let's talk about that company, Results Press.
Absolutely. Results Press is something that came as a result of when I wrote my first book. And I thought to myself, you know, there's got to be a different way. There's so many different things that go on in the publishing industry. And there are a lot of people that want to create something interesting in their businesses and their lives. And they want to build a brand somewhere where they don't have to be stuck in the traditional 9-to-5.
Yeah.
And so I figured there's got to be a different way to do it. And that's kind of where it all started.
So what is the benefit? Somebody comes to that organization, right, your company. What is the result they're going to get?
Well, at the end of the day, think about this for a second. Everybody has a message they want to get out. And this is why so many entrepreneurs strive so hard and some never achieve what they set out to. The idea of why we got into business in the first place was freedom, right? Freedom is defined as the ability to do what you want, when you want, with who you want. And yet so many entrepreneurs struggle just to pay the bills or keep the lights on.
Yeah. Right? Why do you think that is, though?
Because we get stuck, you know, head down on the other end in the air.
Yeah.
And that's the funny part of this whole thing, because we wanted freedom. We said, well, we're going to leave the traditional job and we're going to have that freedom that, you know, we heard the American dream. But unfortunately, the American dream sometimes takes a little bit of knowledge and skill, and we become technicians, right? We're really good at being a plumber, really good at being a consultant, whatever that is that we're good at, but we're not necessarily good at being an entrepreneur. And in order for us to be successful in that space as an entrepreneur, no matter what it is we do, we honestly have to be able to interact with people. People have to know who we are. People laugh at me. They say, well, you know, Sean, you talk about things like exposure. You need to expose yourself. That's the key.
So I know you, like me, didn't have it all figured out in the beginning.
No.
And we both struggled. I know, especially myself, struggled to really learn about these things that you're talking about. How do I get my message out there? How do I build a personal brand that people are going to want to be a part of and invest in the programs that I have, the events that I have? And so take me back to that place when you were getting started. What were some of those struggles before you figured it all out?
Well, that's an awesome question, because at the end of the day, I think we all think we're going to get into this and it's going to be magic. It's just going to happen.
Because we hear about the best testimonials and we see these people like yourselves. That's why I wanted to go. I want people to know who Sean Shuchuk was before he figured it out.
You know, I'll share this very, very simply. I struggled for a lot of years. I grew up in a home that was very entrepreneurial. My dad was a workaholic. And I mean, I remember being 12 and 13 years old on, and, you know, Saturday night, Sunday night, whatever, weekends. I was working till 3 a.m. because it had, apparently, to get done. And I didn't want to be an entrepreneur. I remember moving from a small town to a big city and thinking, I'm just going to get a job. I'm going to work, you know, whatever it is, 9-to-5, and I'm going to retire when I'm 65. And I realized very, very quickly, I'm highly unemployable. Right? Nobody wants to work with me because I have my own idea about what I want to do. I want to go and do, I take about 3 or 4 holidays a year, and they're not just 2 days or 3 days. You know, I spend a time, I'm way behind the curve. I've got a 5-year-old little son. Yeah. And I love spending time with him. If I worked for somebody else, I wouldn't be able to go do that.
Yeah.
Some of the finer things in life, which, by the way, also include being able to give back. You know, every December we do an event where we're able to raise thousands of dollars to be able to help those that maybe need a little extra, right?
Yeah, I think that's one of the best parts of entrepreneurship is finding a purpose to serve that's greater than yourself. And for me, that was one of the biggest shifts. One of my mentors, Jay Abraham, said, don't just make a dollar, make a difference. And so I love that you shared that part of your story, because that's, I think, the best part of entrepreneurship is once you've achieved the freedom and you have what you want, you need to go out and share those gifts with the world. So what are some of the things that you help people when they come to this event and when they come to your programs and you help them get ultimately, whether it's their story, their message, their content out there so they can have an impact and make more money?
Think about this. The toughest thing that entrepreneurs ever have to do is generate leads. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And the second part of this is convert those leads. We can call it sales, whatever term we want to package it as. But at the end of the day, if you're not selling, you're not in business. In order to sell, you have to have leads.
Founder of Results Press, Sean Schuchek's joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. For the average entrepreneur out there who's maybe in their first, second, or third year, maybe even the aspiring entrepreneur who hasn't cut the cord from their job yet, what do you feel like are 3 things that they need to know when they get started?
I think there's a lot of things, Mark, and thank you for asking it, by the way, because I think there's a deep gap or between what most people do and what most people think about business or getting into business. So first and foremost, you have to have a plan in place. Just to say, I'm going to jump off and go do it, it's great to take the risk. And I encourage people, do it. You know, Bob Proctor says, jump off the building and grow wings on the way down, right? And I want people to do that. But I also want to do it a little bit strategically. I want them to know what the end goal is. Where are they going with this? Mm. Secondly, how are you going to generate that business? It's great to say, I'm going into business, but where's that business going to come from? And thirdly, I think it's really important to have a platform from which to launch. And I always say this, I'm a simple guy, I'm a farm kid. I say, if you went to shuttle launch in Florida, Cape Canaveral, and there's a platform, it has to come off something.
Yeah.
You have to be able to do that. Here's something very interesting, and I think this is so vitally important. The average thought process around where a business goes profitability-wise is crazy. You know, average is it's going to take 36 to 48 months before you become profitable. I strongly disagree with that. We've done it, in some cases, as short as 30 days.
Wow.
If you know what you're doing.
And I think that comes back to one of my favorite analogies, and that's if you're following the right recipe, the results can happen almost overnight.
Absolutely.
Like if you walked in the kitchen and you were a terrible cook, you could create a world-class meal, a Michelin star meal, if you follow the right recipe. And so that's essentially what I'm hearing from you is you're providing the recipe for these people to follow so they can have the impact, have the financial freedom that they want. Is that accurate?
It is accurate. I want you to think about this too. The average person struggles for years and years and years before they get anywhere. Mm. Right? So having the recipe, but what about this? What about having the credibility and maybe even the celebrity? Because if you're out there, not as the expert, but as a celebrity, don't call yourself an expert. People look at you differently.
Have other people tell you that you're the expert.
Precisely. I was at an event probably 3 or 4 years ago and speaking to a couple, and they asked what I was there to do. And I said, well, I'm actually speaking from the stage. They said, oh, and they took a step back. And the gentleman said, well, what do you do? Share with something about yourself. I said, well, at that point in time, it was one book. I said, I've written a book. And they backed up about 3 feet. And I looked, I said, what's going on? He goes, well, you're like a rock star. And I thought to myself, it's so interesting. You know, most people are here and they put those who write a book or who speak on a pedestal. So I want you to think about this. And for those that are watching and listening, if you're an expert in your space because of what you've done, not because you said you are, people, they perceive you as that and they engage with you because they see you here.
I think a lot of the times I've noticed that people like yourself, myself, and other successful people out there, what makes them successful is that they get to a place in their life where they realize they need to start consciously choosing what they're going to value. Meaning, are you going to start valuing integrity? Are you going to start valuing personal growth? Are you going to start valuing contribution and wanting to give back? And based on those conscious values, you start to think, feel, and behave differently. What do you feel like is some conscious values that you have that have helped you achieve the success that you have?
You know, my dad taught me something long before he left this planet. The only thing you take with you is your name. Mm-hmm. So I think your reputation, the ethics by which you live your life, run your business, I think that is everything. The other side of the coin is put value where it should be put. Most people put value on money. It's not about the money. It's what money can do for us. Money is very simply a tool. Those people that are near and dear to your heart, that's a priority. Thirdly, spend some time just you. One of my top priorities is being able to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spend time brain feed, right? Mm-hmm. Learning and making sure that I'm in optimum shape.
I love that. And those values are things that I've learned to adapt as well. And it's crazy how they not only have an impact in your success, which is important, but how you feel throughout the day. Sure. I'm excited because you have so many different companies to talk about, ones that you've had ultra success with. So we'll be right back with Sean Shuchuk. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining me right now is my dear friend and mentor, Mr. John Aseroff.
Mr. Mark Lack.
The CEO of NeuroGym. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Great to be on.
So tell us about NeuroGym. It's a company that I've benefited from. I've used your products and services, but tell us about it.
Well, a lot of people do exercises, you know, for their body. Well, yeah. NeuroGym develops some cutting edge, leading ways to innercise your brain so that you have more resiliency, more focus, more confidence, more certainty, more self ability to deliver on the goals and dreams that you have for yourself.
When I first came across your work about 8 years ago, I kind of thought, like most people probably do at first, I don't know about this. It's the brain versus, I thought it was just taking action. I need the strategies, I need the tactics. And then I realized that that doesn't matter as much as programming your subconscious mind. Why is that?
Well, there's an enormous amount of research now that's showing us that there's a huge gap between what we choose and what we want to achieve consciously, we're making that choice, versus what our brain is doing beneath our level of awareness to prevent us from achieving those goals. So we know that, you know, the brain's got 100 billion neurons or cells. We know that there are different circuits that turn on and off. We know that there's stress circuits, motivational circuits, spiritual circuits, circuits that cause us to put the brakes on, circuits that cause us to put the gas on. But we haven't been given the user's manual for how to understand these circuits, but even to how to understand the machinery. But in the last 10, 15 years, the advancements of brain scan imaging technology, where we can actually see what's happening in the brain as stimuli is being introduced to the brain, whether it's an external stimuli moving in or even a thought that you might have. And we're able to see the different circuits that turn on or off and the different neurotransmitters and the different hormones that cause you to either be petrified of taking action, petrified of not doing what you need to do because there might be an unconscious fear of being embarrassed, ashamed, failing, succeeding. And if you don't understand how these circuits work, what causes you to move forward, what causes you to put the brake and stay comfortable, then chances are you're not going to progress as fast as you're capable of with this 3-pound amazing tool that we have. So it's only in the last 15 years that we're getting the user's manual. My company takes the best research in the world and creates technologies and methodologies combined together to accelerate people's ability to let go of the stuff that doesn't work so that it can focus on the stuff that does.
That's what I love about your stuff over so many other people out there in the industry is yours is research-based, backed by science.
Right.
And so many of the other things out there, they don't have the type of research that backs what you guys have. What led you to want to find neuroscience as like the new technology, the new platform for people to create change in their life?
Well, there's a couple of reasons, and you know, because we're on business rock stars today, the number one reason was because when I was building one of my companies, RE/MAX of Indiana, I had 1,500 salespeople, and we plateaued at about $1.2 billion. That's a nice place to plateau, but I knew that the potential was about $5 billion in sales a year. And I used to give my agents books. I used to bring in the best speakers in the world. I would give them cassette tapes back then. I would give them anything and everything to upgrade their knowledge and their skills, whether it was their mindset, emotional mastery, behavior that they needed to take. And a very small percentage would actually do what the blueprint said you need to do.
They didn't even follow the recipe.
They wouldn't even follow the blueprint. And so I really got fascinated with why is it that we can have goals? We can have dreams. We can have aspirations. We can scream at the top of our lungs, oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm so motivated. I'm going to achieve this. I'm going to rule the world. And then the very next moment, because of something that is hidden within most people, we freeze and we go and do something else. We go and grab a beer. We go and talk to a friend. We go and play on social media. We don't apply what we already know we should apply. I was fascinated with that. And that's what led me to the understanding of the different mechanics within the brain. So imagine if you had a Lamborghini or a Ferrari or a Rolls Royce, but nobody showed you how to turn on the car. Nobody showed you how to work the gas and the brake. Nobody showed you how to go into first gear or second or third or fourth or fifth. Well, that's what we're dealing with for the most part with our brain. We have the most powerful, sophisticated 3-pound tool in the world. No user's manual. So I started to study with some of the leading brain researchers and neuropsychologists in the world to understand what are they discovering about these different circuits, the motivational circuit where the gas goes on, but then all of a sudden the fear circuit goes on, the brake goes on. And how do you recognize this? But then how do you use, let's say, fear and turn it into fuel? Because the essence of fear is cortisol, epinephrine, adrenaline, norepinephrine, which is a phenomenal booster. But when it enters most people's bloodstream, it shuts them down because they don't know what this sensation is.
I love the analogy about the user's manual for the brain because we weren't given that. CEO of NeuroGym, John Assaroff, is joining us. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Take me to your story and your journey because I don't think a lot of people understand it. They see this successful guy today who has massive amounts of knowledge about how the brain works, and you provide people the user's manual.
Sure.
But I know that you have a story of adversity and kind of how you triumph from being a kid who was going down the wrong path to being the person you are today. Tell us about that.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, it goes back. I'm 55 today. I feel like I'm in my early 40s, almost as young as you, right? When I moved from Israel to Montreal, I spoke Hebrew. I didn't write Hebrew or read it, but I spoke it as a 5-year-old boy. And I was just starting kindergarten in Israel when I moved, my family moved to Montreal, and I didn't know the English or French language there. And so for 2 years, I was in a classroom with 50 to 60 other kids, and the teachers couldn't catch me up to the other kids where they were, when they spoke English, spoke French, wrote, and read, both of them. And so I was 2 years behind in school, and that caused me to just feel insecure. Kids laughed at me, they joked at me, they made fun of my accent, they made fun that I couldn't speak the English language. I remember getting into a fight with a kid because he spit on me because I couldn't communicate with him. So I felt insecure. I felt like I wasn't smart enough, wasn't good enough, wasn't worthy. And that led me to hang out with a group of misfits. And a few of those misfits started to get into trouble. So around the age of 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, like a long time, I hung out with this group of misfits that went from grade 6 all the way through to about grade 11. We lied, we stole, we cheated, we did break-in entries, we imported and sold drugs. I mean, we did stuff that I'm not proud of today, But we did stuff to fit in. We did stuff to have some money in our pockets. We did stuff to have this bravado about us that we were good enough and smart enough. And I came from a really good family. So on one hand, I had a loving mother, loving father, loving sister, loving brother. But I was doing all this stuff that just wasn't right. And I didn't know better at the time from the perspective of how I could feel better about myself.
Yeah.
And when I was 19, enough was enough because I was getting very, very close to being locked up for a while. And I went to visit my brother. He introduced me to a client of his. My brother's a tennis pro. And he introduced me to a client of his who's a very successful businessman, philanthropist, making millions of dollars. But more than that, he really cared about people. And he had a real estate company. And May 5th, 1980, the day after I met him, he enrolled me in real estate school. I was 19. On June 20th, 1980, I had got my real estate license. Now, the reason I know those dates so well, it was a 5-week, 9-to-5 class. I passed the test on my own. And I cheated to get out of high school on my final exam. So it was really significant because I actually found something that I thought maybe was my freedom pack. And I did the work and I actually liked it. And so where I hated school and didn't do well, not because I wasn't smart. I thought I wasn't smart because I wasn't doing well.
Yeah.
But I was just in an environment that just didn't foster my creativity, my knowledge that I wanted to acquire. And so I had this block from school. So I said, I hate school. And as soon as I got into this environment where I learned something that I wanted to, and then I had a mentor who guided me, loved me, taught me, showed me, cared for me, and helped me work on retraining my own brain. First year, I made $35,000. My father was making $25,000 as a cab driver. My parents still thought I was doing illegal stuff. That's how they're like, come on, why are you dressing so nice? Where's the money in your pocket from?
Yeah.
And then the second year, by retraining my brain and building my beliefs and my habits and my perceptions and learning how to control my mindset and my behavior, I made $151,000. So the path that you're on is very, very similar to mine, where you're learning all of the ways to think. And that was really the beginning. And so my break came from being sick and tired of being sick and tired and knowing that I felt I had potential and I was standing on the edge of my potential, but I just didn't know how to get over that chasm because my insecurities were so deep.
And now you help everybody do that in their own lives, break through their financial glass ceiling, help them overcome their seasons of adversity. And you have a business that's all about that. So somebody says, I love this John Ashraf guy. Either I've heard him before, or this is my first time hearing about him. I love this neuroscience stuff. Yeah. Where can they learn more about you?
One of the best things they could do is we have an event, you know, that happens on Saturday. And it's called Brainathon. And we bring in some of the world's leading brain experts and psychology experts to help people just understand the right way versus the wrong way to set goals, how to master their mindset, how to master their emotions. And they can just go to yourbrainathon.com.
Well, I've watched the last 3 Brainathons over the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And I not only love the Brainathon, but I actually use the programs that the Brainathon talks about. Phenomenal stuff, guys. Go to... Say the websites again.
Yourbrainathon.com.
There it is, John.
And also you can go to myneurogym.com. So
there you go, guys. You heard it from the man himself. Thanks for coming on the show, John.
Great being here.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now a Business Rockstars Minute. What do the best bosses do every day? I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Your company is only as good as the culture. And that starts with the boss. Here are some things the best bosses do every day to provide a happy workplace and make them wildly successful. 1, they don't micromanage. Be an amazing boss by taking comfort in the fact you hired the right employees with the right talents and qualifications. 2, they reinforce good work. It's a simple concept. If you boost morale, you boost productivity right there in the workplace. 3, they listen. Here's a trick. Say, tell me more. To show you're actually listening or when giving feedback. Cultivating respect in the workplace doesn't happen all at once. It's about a series of daily habits that mesh creativity and leadership. It also instills trust in them as well. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
question. Do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
Going on a spring break vacation? If you're planning on sand, surf, and fun in the sun, don't chance it and take your smartphone into the water or to the beach. Instead, check out JVC's quad-proof Evryo cameras. So what is quad-proof exactly? We asked Francisco Lacey from JVC.
What we have with our consumer cameras that we've developed over the last few years is a quad-proof camera, which is very unique to the marketplace. It keeps the traditional form of a camcorder in your hand. The feel of it is much better, but the quad-proof nature of it makes it waterproof, dustproof, shockproof, and freeze-proof. The biggest one, which is heavy, it requires a float strap, but the rest of them are actually floatable. So you can jump into the swimming pool, jump into the ocean, waterproof up to 5 meters of depth.
Which makes them perfect for taking in the water. More on JVC's HD Evryo cameras is at jvc.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
Are you building your business to win? And how does business strategy and law play a role in that? Jessica Ullman, founder of the Vero Law Group, is here to help us on that topic. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Jessica, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here.
So your company, the Vero Law Group, helps entrepreneurs and business owners with business strategy and law. So how can those things help a business owner win?
So in the big picture, and the question you ask, are you building a business to win? And I think each person has to get really clear on the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. Because if your answer is yes, and you're building a business to win, then every decision that you make in your company should be with the assumption that you're going to be successful. How does that play out as you're actually growing your business? Sometimes people come to me and they're trying to figure out, as they start their company, should they work with a business attorney to form their company, let's say. Mm-hmm. If you're building a business to win, the answer is, of course, you want to start a relationship with this key strategic advisor to your business. You need to understand how the law affects your business. What do you do with this company after it's been formed? All the places that a lawyer works with you that's beyond, let's say, forming your company online. And the answer is yes, of course. If you're not sure if you're building a business to win, you might be cutting corners and trying to figure out other solutions because you aren't sure that you'll be successful.
So what are some of the common mistakes you see people make? You do this every single day. This is what your business does. So when people come to you, either they already have this Gordian knot mistake they've already made you're trying to solve, or maybe they're just getting started. What are some of those mistakes you see them make?
So the biggest mistake, still talking about the big picture, is not thinking big enough. At this point, I have interviewed and spoken to over 1,000 people calling into my law firm about us potentially working together. And I ask everyone the same question, which is, if you could build any business that you want 3 years from now, but you had to describe it to me right now, what would it look like? And what I've found over time and getting all the answers to this question is that the only limitation that we have as entrepreneurs is how big we can think. So at this point, the way that someone answers that question, I could literally tell at least the maximum capacity that they have for success. Hmm. So it's a completely different story if someone comes in and tells me, oh, I'll be making $100,000 in revenue and have an assistant, versus if they tell me I'm going to have $10 million in revenue and have 10 employees. That the decisions you make, the way you're thinking, everything you're doing starting from the exact same point is building towards a completely different result.
Well, I want to go into like a whole seminar with you right now just about how people can, you know, shift their mindset and take action and create the environments to help them succeed. But we're more focused right now on business strategy and law.
Yes.
What are some of those business strategies and tactics people can implement in their business so that they can win?
Okay. A big one would be with trademarks. So a lot of people think of a trademark as something that you get to protect yourself from other people using the name. And that's really important, of course, especially as you grow. But when you're first starting a business, my philosophy is that you should apply for a trademark immediately once you know your name.
In what context? Just for the name of my business?
For the name.
For the industry and niche or use of it?
Yes, exactly. Okay. So you apply for the words, trademark,
and
basic word. The logo would be second, but the words especially. And let
Most
me tell
important.
You why. Because you're about to invest tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands plus dollars in marketing and branding. Mm-hmm. And the worst result is to invest all that money over the next couple of years, open your eyes one day and say, you know what, we're at a point of success that I'm ready to apply for that trademark. You go to apply for the mark and it turns out you can't get the trademark because let's say it's too generic, or even worse, someone else has the right to use that mark. And they could potentially shut you out of using the words for your own business.
Yeah, so you got to get that trademark in place.
Got to get the trademark.
And if you're building your business to win, you got to think big. Founder of the Vera Law Group, Jessica Ullman's joining us. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We're talking about building your business to win using business strategies and law. What are some of the things? We just talked about trademarks being one of them. What about contracts? I feel like a lot of people try to do things on a handshake these days, which is fine. I wish we could just operate that way, but you know we can't. So what about contracts? When should people use them? When should they invest money and time to get those for their business?
So ultimately, if you think about it, you actually have a contract with every single person you do business with. That's with clients, employees, contractors, anyone that you're touching in business, you have a contract with them. Now, what are the terms of those contracts? And that's where the written contract comes into play. And in an ideal world, you should be working towards having a written agreement with everyone that you do business with.
How can people make sure that they protect themselves when it comes to contracts so that they can make sure that just because they have a contract and they're signing it, they're actually protected? Because again, people will have you sign a contract and it's 40 pages deep. You have to hire an attorney for thousands of dollars to read it for you.
Yeah.
You say, screw it. I trust the person. I'm going to just sign it. Sometimes that gets people into trouble.
So the best strategy is to find an awesome business attorney who understands your business, understands the size of business that you have and the place you are in business, and can draft a contract for you and your company that is appropriate in length, but also tone. You know, some businesses are more casual and want to have a contract that sounds like we're talking to each other.
Yeah.
Other businesses want the formality. Maybe they're working with big corporations, and you need to have contracts for your business that are appropriate and also really feel like an extension of you on paper. Mm. So once you have customized contracts for your business, you can use those for your relationships. And then if you and I are doing business together and you give me a 40-page contract, let's say for a deal that's worth $30,000, I might just say, you know
it's
what?
Not worth it.
Not worth it.
I've done that before too.
I've thought through my contracts and this over here makes sense to me and that doesn't. But it's not until I go through the process of getting really clear in my business on how I want my contracts to be set up that I'm really empowered to say something like that.
Two or three pages, like 3 to 5 max. Well, anytime somebody
says, we might argue about that, but it depends on the deal.
It's contextual. It's contextual.
Okay. Yeah.
But just, I mean, I've had people hand me 40, 50 page contracts and I have some of the biggest, baddest attorneys in the nation on my side. And, but they're not cheap, obviously. And, and I don't want, I just go 40, 50 pages. You're hiding something.
Too much.
And it's like, I don't want to do that.
Or they're just using someone else's contract and haven't really thought through it because that's probably not appropriate for this size of deal.
Yeah. This is good stuff. I feel like if people want to get more information about you, where can they find you?
At verolawgroup.com.
Awesome.
And I also have the new course that we're launching. So that's on a bigger scale, coursecorrected.com.
Okay, so verolawgroup.com.
Yes.
Awesome, Jessica.
Thanks for
coming on the show.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that the host nor Business Rockstars is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.